Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 31 in our teaching series, a study of the book of Acts with Paul's writings, titled Chapter 6, Part 2. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Good morning, class, students of the Most High God, maker of heaven and earth. Hope everyone's doing well today. As we continue in our teaching in the book of Acts and kind of see where we are, where we've been, where we are, and definitely where we're headed and where we're going as a church. I am persuaded that the church of Jesus Christ is, it's been important, but I think I'm persuaded it's going to be more important than it's ever been in moving forward as we come together and have a place for people to come together as the children of God. Amen. I'd like to welcome you that are watching online. We're so glad to have you with us. We pray that you can learn a little something from this crowd. Amen. Book of Acts. I like to start this off here. I'll do my, see which lesson we got today. Lesson 31, chapter 6. It's like we're moving right along, breakneck speed. I like this guy. I've used him before. I'm sure you don't remember his name. I'll give you a little history of him. I've referred to him several times here. From a humble beginning in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, Vance Havner was called to preach, and watch this, and licensed at 12, ordained at 15, and preached all over America. Havner became one of the best loved and renowned revivalists of the 20th century. Here's a little saying he had. It's not our business to make the message acceptable, but to make it available. We are not to see that they like it, but that they get it. Now, you might enjoy listening to his preaching. It's just like that. There are actually some videos online on YouTube that you can watch this old preacher preach, and there's this black and white, and there's no room for negotiations with this guy. And I love to hear him preach. I actually looked up that quote yesterday, and one of his little videos came up, and I started watching it, and about 30 minutes later, I thought, oh, I got to stop. I'm doing my studies. I got sidetracked on him and his preaching. Now, if you will, if we'll turn in our Bibles here, we picked up again with Stephen. And when Stephen was before the Sanhedrin, he was chosen here by Peter as one of the leaders there. And we see that he was brought unto the church council. And this is, we're going to pick up here in verse 8 of chapter 6. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, I like this because we see here that as Stephen was full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. We talked last week about full faith and coming into the power was associated with full faith. And he also did great wonders and miracles. He was not one of the apostles. Here we can see in the scripture that people other than the apostles were also doing signs and wonders. A lot of people say today that that's not to happen in the church today, but we know that it is still available because here is an example. Here we see Stephen, which was a deacon, not a disciple, performing great wonders and miracles. He was in that group of the first deacons. So therefore, the signs and wonders were not just for the apostles. Stephen was one of the great men in the early church and gives a history lesson to the Sanhedrin in the next chapter. Now, Stephen, that's one of the first deacons. You got to understand, too, they were coming right out of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2. And you had the apostles going around preaching to Israel and to the Jews of this message that Jesus is the Messiah. You killed the king. If you'll repent, he'll come again. Then in the meantime, they chose these deacons to help them. And not only that, they sent them out with the signs and wonders gifts here. And Stephen was chosen, as you'll see in the next chapter 7. And Stephen will stand before the Sanhedrin, before this council, and he'll give them a pretty good little history lesson on how they got to where they are. And we've went over a little bit of that. Verse 9, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Bertanes and the Cyrenes and Alexandrias, or them of Sicily and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And so we see here that Stephen drew a big crowd here. Now, these are leaders from other countries. So we can see that he evidently was making a pretty good case. He must have been a pretty good preaching deacon, is all I can say. But they were disputing with Stephen. This is just a couple of slides of review from last week. Stephen's strong message and witness to the gospel exposes him to the hatred of the Sadducees. And so that leads us up to this next thing. It is here that Stephen will be falsely accused. So when we stand up for the gospel and we give the gospel, for us to think that it's always going to be received with open arms, biblically we can see what usually happens. So here we're going to go into where in verse 10 it says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." Last week I showed you how that word means they were paid off. Actually, they were paid off to lie. They could not handle the truth that Stephen was speaking. So these suborned men, and then they spoke lies against him, saying that the blaspheming had blasphemed against Moses and against the temple. Now in verse 12, "And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses," which those were the paid off ones, "which said, This man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." Now, I know as Christians, a lot of times we believe that if things aren't going well, that we're not being Christian enough. I submit to you, the more Christian you are, the less well that it's going to go. And a lot of times we judge it by, well, this isn't going good, or this, and we're saying this about the gospel or the word of God, and it doesn't go well. So then we have this persuasion, well, if it's not going well, it must not be God. We see here that the opposite happens. We see here that they were speaking against him, but they were actually lying. Here we see Stephen being falsely accused. Verse 14, "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." So that was their accusation. They were saying they were coming against the word of God and the teachings of the Torah. "This Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place." You know, Jesus referred to the temple. There's two things here. They were referring to the temple being destroyed, and they were speaking about Jesus said he was fulfilling the law. So therefore, they were saying, thank you so much. He was fulfilling the law. So therefore, they were saying he was destroying the law. And so they were trying to prove, in other words, they were putting a spin. Jesus did say the temple was coming down, did he not? Jesus came to fulfill the law, did he not? Therefore, having it to be of no register against us because he fulfilled it. But it's taught in the accusation was in the wrong light. Now, in verse 15, "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." We see that what was happening here, they were accusing him of being blasphemous. But I don't know how they came up with that accusation if he had the face of an angel. I would say that was twisting it pretty good. Now, the next question you have to ask yourself, what is the face of an angel? What does that look like? Is he got scary? Okay, that's pretty good. I've maybe been one then. The face of an angel. As we see here, that the scriptures is given a reference to Stephen here as having the face of an angel. Now, I would like to submit to this class that I've never seen an angel. So therefore, how could I say as the face of an angel, right? So there was something happening here that caused him, the report, to say that he had the face of an angel. This is where I think the natural world and the spiritual world touch each other. I have actually been in the presence of a few people in my life that I could say that they had the face of an angel, that the presence of the Lord was so strong in their life, you felt like they just walked out of the room with him, and their countenance, if you will. I mean, how do you draw a picture of a countenance? How do you take a camera and take a picture of this spiritual phenomena that they're referring to here, this face of an angel? So I'm going to move in a couple of slides for us to consider about this face of an angel, because the scripture says that they looked steadfastly on him, which would mean, and all that said in the council looked steadfastly on him. Now that's the Sanhedrin. So that was a big council of leaders, and they looked upon him and they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. I would not ask my spouse if you've ever seen you with the face of an angel, unless you're ready for the truth. And perhaps you could be guilty of this. But what I'd like for us to do as a prophetic class to consider, there is a spiritual state that you will actually reflect the face of an angel. Now, you know, you say, well, Alan, I don't believe that. And I say, well, I mean, I'm not so sure how much I believe it either, except that the Word of God says it. I've got a funny feeling when I think I am talking or I am giving somebody my mind of how smart I am, I got a feeling I'm not projecting the face of an angel. Want to take a vote on that one? Maybe you too. I could say that I'd be in a debate over the upcoming presidential election, in which I've been in several. But I have yet to be accused of having the face of an angel. Maybe the face of something else or whatever, but not an angel. So we're seeing here, Stephen was talking, and as he was talking to this crowd, they were captivated by him, and he had this face of an angel. So let's look at it just a little closer here and see what it might say. They were amazed and bewildered at the face of Stephen. And what I'm asking us to consider is that his face, actually, something spiritually was happening at the area of his face. Now, I'm going to look at this just a little closer of this verse, the face of an angel, because that it captivates me. I could scoot right on over it and get into more line upon line teaching, but for some reason, this spiritual phenomena just intrigued me, and it intrigues me. And so I've come up with a few things for us to consider. There again, you test it, because I've had maybe 12, 15 dreams with an angel in it. But in every dream, I could never see his face. I've never seen the face. I just knew it was the angel of the Lord, but I have never seen the face of that angel that's in my dream. So that's the reason I can say to you, even in dreams, I told my wife one time she married an angel, but I don't think that's going to work as far as a proof text. Okay, this is incredible. Now, I want you to consider this. Your face is the place of export of this glory of the light within. So Stephen was talking, he was speaking. Evidently, he must have been pretty convincing. And so they didn't really know what to do with him. They knew he was telling the truth. But then it projected the face of an angel. So we know that something was being exported through his face. Have you ever been in conversation with somebody and their face, they just exported something, right? I mean, you're like, or it could be one of joy or sadness or tears. So we know that your face exports another language, a spiritual language. We call it just facial expressions, not realizing that your facial expressions speak. Not only do they speak, if you've got the facial expression of an angel, you're really speaking. And what this implies is he was speaking like an angel. That's pretty huge. And there again, I think if you've got to get to home plate to get that face, I might be on first base, okay? And I've been carried to it, matter of fact. Now, here's my question. If your face is a place of export of this face of an angel or glory, whatever you want to call it, how does your place of export look? How does your face look? I got one particular Christian friend, and he's pretty much just happy all the time. Y'all have one like that? I mean, I know I'm not it because I don't export that, but I've got one. He's just happy all the time. Kind of get on your nerves, to tell you the truth. But his place of export is one of joy. And one thing about Stephen, for them to say that he had the face of an angel, is because of the consistency of his face. It was the consistency of what was coming out of Stephen that caused them to say that. Not only that, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I can be in a good mood or bad mood. Anybody experience those two moods? Well, I can be in a bad mood, and I can go there in about 3 seconds, and my face will export it. Now, I can be in a good mood, and in all honesty, it'll take a minute or two before my face will catch up. So in this place of, here's what I'm trying to get us to consider. A lot of people want the gifts of the Spirit, and they won't be able to heal and speak in tongues and all that, but I want for you to consider this other gift here of your face being an export of the glory of God. And that's what was happening to Stephen. And you see, what happens is your face is a TV screen, if you will, of the heart. You can read somebody's heart by looking at their face, unless they got a pretty good poker face. But nonetheless, your face is a reflection of what's going on in your heart. And if you can poker face and say, well, I can cover up my heart, I don't have to show you my heart because I'm going to stay poker face. I'm not going to show any expression. The only thing I can say to that is you are hindering your witness of the glory of God. You're hindering your witness because our face is the place of export of this joy, of this peace. And I would like for you to start considering this glory of God. And the glory of God, and you can say, well, I want to pray for somebody and lay hands on them. I want to start a new rumor. I want us to pray for people and go up and put our face on them. See what your face looks like as you approach somebody, as you talk to somebody, because your face is going to show you. I've had people come up to me and pray for me. I'm like, oh, my Lord, I don't think I want that on me. You know what I'm saying? I hope they're not giving it away. And then I've had others that I'm honored that they would pray for me. So here we go. How does your place of export look? Is your face a reflection of darkness, or is it a place that radiates the light of God's glory? And that's what was happening with Stephen. Stephen knew he had the truth. He knew he had it right. And so therefore, he was showing up. Let's consider this. God's light within you will be seen by others and is a creative and influencing light. So this light of God, this glory of God was coming out of Stephen through his face, and he was changing the atmosphere and convicting the hearts of those that were watching. Now, he had a bad day after that council. You might say, well, Alan, didn't look like as we get over into the book of Acts, he ends up getting stoned. But the point being, was it about his life or was it about him having the glory and the life of Christ shining through him? Let's watch it as we go on. This light is full of the knowledge of God's glory, which is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, in ancient paintings, they always have this, a lot of times they'll have this halo thing around. It's signifying the glory. You've seen it before in a lot of the old painting showing the glory of God. Well, in Christianity, this glory or this face of Stephen or whatever, it wasn't a foreign teaching. It was a teaching that was understood, that you could tell when someone had really been with the Lord and their life has changed, and then they walked around with this radiant, with this radiance, if you will. And that phenomena, the reason I'm bringing it up this morning is because I know it's a lost truth in the church of God. And a lot of it's been lost because when I'd speak in a lot of churches, I'd go to a lot of little old churches, and the first thing I would do, now this is the truth, if they weren't always there, but 95% of the time they were there, you'd go in the church and you'd look for the little old ladies with the bun, you know, the bun on top of their head, and there'd be two or three of them sitting together, maybe an Afghan or two. And you hunt those old ladies down, and I'd ask them to pray the glory on me. And the reason is I knew they knew the glory. I knew they had been in touch with you. And you could, does anybody know what I'm talking about? You could find these ladies and you could tell that they had been with God. And they would just smile and just radiate the presence and the glory of God. I'll have to say, never saw too many men with it, but there was a lot of those ladies that had it. Since the Holy Spirit abides within you, it is possible this glory can also radiate from your face. So we're saying it's Christ in you is the hope of glory. So the glory's got a hope, and that hope is that it's Christ in you. Now, we gravitate to Christ in you as a hope of glory. We gravitate to the name Christ, but we need to consider the other word, which is called glory. Because glory is a true spiritual phenomenon, the glory of God. The glory of God can fall in a room with the people. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, I ask you a question. How can the Holy Spirit fall and there not be glory, right? Or how can glory fall and the Holy Spirit not be in your midst, you see? So the two go together, and I would just like to introduce or to remind you of this spiritual phenomena as we're studying the scriptures here about the glory of God. And there's another thing to consider is when we make a distinction in the glory of God, we're all trying to be Christians and grow closer to Christ, but there is an earthly benefit, and it's that radiating glory, which I'm sure it's in the spiritual world, but you can be an observer and say, there's something different about that person. There's something going on. And you can say, I don't know what they got, but I want it, right? And you hadn't said nothing yet. So there's an energy, if you will, of the Holy Ghost, I believe, that's within us. I believe that the Christ in you, the hope of glory, I think that Christ in me, the hope of glory, is bigger than me. I mean, even physically, spiritually speaking, I had a dream one time that it was about this much further than me. And in the dream, The glory was on me, but I looked fat because the glory was bigger. And since that dream, I'm convinced that Christ in you, the hope of glory, is bigger than you, not only physically, but in the spiritual world. And then the question is, can others, we're so busy being so critical of each other, I don't know if we're looking for the glory. That's another thought, maybe for another time, but it's a pretty good thought. Okay, this is what was happening with Stephen. Now, here's another thought to come up with. Do you want to radiate or agitate? Now, I've done a little of both. I'm probably the only guilty one in here. But for some reason, as Christians, sometimes we think if we can agitate each other real good out of religious spirit that we're shining. I don't think that's what this is implying. So if I'm chief agitator, it doesn't mean that I'm walking around with the most glory. So I think there's something to make a distinction in, and that's what was happening to Stephen. For some reason, Stephen was radiating. Like a radiator, it means you put off the glory of God. Now, the interesting thing to me there again was it wasn't through his hands or his feet, it's through his face. I'd rather it be through my hands because they look the same all the time. If I got to work on my face, it's going to be a job. Because it's your attitude that controls the facial muscles. Everybody knows that. So I thought I could just let them freewheel. But according to Stephen, he was letting her rip. If your inner man is not hiding this glory of God under a basket, that's what that scripture is pertaining to, you can radiate through your face what is in your heart without thinking. Now, I think that's a pretty good thing to consider. And that's what he's saying. Don't hold this light under a bushel basket. Well, what light? Is it going to be the fabulous words I say? Well, it just so happens that this light was radiating through Stephen's face, and by that, they heard the words he was saying. But the glory was coming through his face. I'm not saying they weren't on the words, but they were coming through his face. So that's a spiritual phenomena that I'd like for you to consider and test as Christians. There you go. There's an example. Moses had to wear a veil. And so we know this is a true spiritual phenomena. And I would to the Lord that we had a reputation that people can say you need to go to that church on South 64 on New Life. Those people in there glow. They're like a bunch of lightning bugs. I mean, you didn't think that before you come in, but you're going to think it leaving, I'll tell you that. Now, it is at this point that all of the energy of the glory is distributed throughout your entire body. Now, this is what happens. I want to stay on the glory word for just a moment. I'd like for you to consider, as we're in the presence of God and as we worship God, is possible that we can be so full of the glory of God that it radiates through our face. But the part I want you to consider too, if you're so full that it's radiating through your face, that means it's radiating through your body, right? I can't help but believe that perhaps might have some healing effect. There again, I don't say I couldn't. Don't say I could hurt. But I'd like for us to consider the fact that this glory of God, as it's growing, as it's in us, to a point that it radiates out our face, that it also radiates throughout the entire body. When this glory shines, it produces a spiritual energy that is projected throughout your spirit, your body, and your body. This spiritual energy can bring healing and motivation to these areas. Just consider that. When this presence reaches higher levels. Now listen, I'm trying to put a spiritual phenomena into words. Please bear with me. I understand that my words lack a lot in trying to explain a spiritual phenomena. But can y'all give me grace and mercy as I'm struggling just trying to, how do you put words to they just got born again. I mean, put it in mechanical words, that they just got born again. Well, you're at a loss for words. If you don't believe it, let somebody that just got born again go give their testimony to others. And they're like, are you crazy? So the spiritual stuff is really hard to put into words. And truly, the Bible does the best job of any. It is at this point that others around you may see and feel this wonderful light of peace and of safety. Perhaps you are an individual that a lot of times people in your family or in the church or area or community or friends, or you might even go to the jails and the prisons. But here's my point. When people call you and talk to you or you're with people, do they see you as a source that brings peace and safety to their situation? Now, that's a good question. Do people seek you out to find peace and safety? If they do, it's a good chance you're leaking a little glory. Okay, it's a good chance. I'm trying to come up with some evidence of it, but it's a good chance if people seek you out. Or have you had people come to you and you've talked with them? You've not agreed with their plight. A lot of times people just have a bad attitude and people will just agree. Yeah, I know, he's terrible. He's bad. Yeah, I thought the same thing. A lot of times we join into people in their crisis, but as Christians, we can listen to people in a crisis, but it doesn't mean we have to agree with their place of crisis. We bring in the Word of God to bring peace and safety. How do we do that? We do it through the export of our faith in the glory of God. The glory of God is the Holy Spirit of God, same in one. Now, this spiritual radiance, I'm calling it here, will then have a drawing effect, even a spiritual type magnetism. We see that Stephen drew a crowd. Now, it was a crowd that stoned him later, but nonetheless, Stephen drew a crowd. And why did he draw that crowd? It's because of this radiating face of the glory of God that he was walking with. You just cannot stop the effect. As Jesus was walking on this earth, he could not help but draw crowds of people seeking this glory that shone through his face. When our face is like Stephen's face, it brings people hope, safety. They know they're hearing the truth. They know they're hearing the truth of God. I've got a few more here. Stephen's cup was running over with the glory and power of God. So you can say, Alan, how can I radiate? Well, truthfully, it's a spiritual phenomenon. But I also think it's part of a process of my cup runneth over. In other words, it's easy to minister out of overflow. It's hard to minister when you're dry and irritated. Dry, irritated, and then try to get a little glory going on. It's just not much happening, right? But there is something here. I believe that Stephen had been with the Lord, had been with the Spirit so much that he was a place of overflow. And so I would be to God that we all came to church on Sunday in overflow. In overflow of the Holy Spirit. And when we're in overflow, and one thing you can notice is when you're in overflow of the Holy Spirit, we could come in here and you know what? We would all be thinking the same thing. If we're all in overflow of the Holy Spirit, we would come in here. Put it to you like this. A lot of people, Christians even, are not that concerned about people getting saved. I'll use an obvious one. They're not that concerned about people getting saved. Well, that old preacher that I just showed you there from the hills of the Smoky Mountains here, and that's what made me think of it, he had a quote, if you weren't concerned about people being saved, he said, you're just lost. He said, a saved man is always worried about the salvation of others. Just the presence of a person who radiates this glory and light of God will calm the most difficult situations of life. Can anybody give a testimony of that? A radiating life brings health and life to the person radiating as well as to all of those that are around. This is that face that was happening to Stephen. A radiating life causes a pleasant atmosphere, which once again will draw people into it. When this light is covered or hidden by fear, the power and presence which is produced will begin to fade. So as Christians, we start finding that fear is a factor that comes against the glory of God radiating out of our lives. Just a thought. There again, I've left my line upon line of the book of Acts and kind of went into this radiating face of Stephen for this Sunday because it's something that historically, as I look back through the church, this was more of a common phenomena, if you will. And I know that we're beginning to lose this. And this is one of the main things. Fear is an enemy of the light, and it must be destroyed at all costs. When the glory begins to fade, it can cause the spirit, soul, and body to become confused, tired, and sometimes even sick. Has anybody experienced any of that? I have. And what's happening is this glory, this level, if you will, you know, it says, be filled ye with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit glory, same thing. Be ye filled. And we have to have a daily, or I do, daily encountering. I don't know about y'all, but I have to be very deliberate about encountering the presence of God. I have to be very deliberate, very disciplined to say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to have a quiet time. All of those things, they're disciplines to me. And they don't come natural, but they're disciplines that is required of me. If I don't, I can tell that the glory begins to fade. The flow of the radiant power has been interrupted, which can cause chaos throughout the entire body. It can cause chaos, confusion. You start getting irritated. I know that's nobody in here. I think irritation must be a virus because a lot of people had it last week in my world. Okay, this energy produced from the glory of God within us is like the sun is to the body. You know, they claim you need so many hours out in the sun that it's healthy for vitamins. It is the source of eternal life given the man. Just as your body needs the sun on the outside to receive certain vitamins, so your inner body needs the inner light of God, his sun within you. Can you get that? Our physical body needs sun, but we constantly need this filling of the Son of Jesus, of Christ, Son of God, which is Christ, to bring healthiness to our inner man. This light is called Jesus, the Son of God. The scriptures speak about fear and how fear does not come from God. And it says it here in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what? A sound mind." Power, love, and a sound mind. Do you see it? God gives us power, love, and a sound mind. All of these are to be stored in the inner man, our hearts to bring great health, power for the spirit, love for the soul, and a sound mind for the body. And as this is happening, I mean, just test it. If you come back and say, "Well, Alan, I've tried it, and I'm not radiating a bit more than I was." Maybe we can get a radiate meter or something here. A sound mind filled with love and power will radiate health to the entire body of Christ. So as we come together, there is a phenomena of the body of Christ coming together. I think there's more for us to experience as a congregation, as a church, if you will. I don't think what we're experiencing now is all there is. Do you? Now, I'm not saying we're doing something wrong, but I am saying I want to discover if there's not more to this thing called church. I'm persuaded that there is. And that's the reason here that a sound mind filled with love and power, that's a radiating face, will radiate health to the entire body. I know it'll radiate to my personal body, but it'll also radiate to this entire body, the body of Christ. So I'm hoping that this can be words that just hit your brains and falls to the ground. But I'm praying that these words is a little bit challenging to you. Not so much challenging like you've done something wrong or I've done something wrong. Challenging in that I'm raising some questions for us to consider. And these questions are, it's a greater things in our Christian life that we can pursue and that will actually equal what's in this book. When this glory becomes individualized, one person at a time, it brings a unique spiritual dynamic to a corporate setting. Anybody have a witness on that? You see, as this happens to us individually, and we were growing in this face of Stephen, if you will, then as we come together supernaturally, it's going to up the ante. You know, I have people all the time say, "Well, Alan, we need to do this. I think we did this." It's not unusual to have things in our minds and for us to think, well, if we did it like this, we would have more of the presence of God. Now, that's only natural. Or if they'd quit this, or if they'd quit that, or if they'd sing this song. Or, you know, we have all of these ideas that we're doing something wrong, not to have any more presence in the meetings than we have. That's normal, and it's natural. But according to the Word of God, the presence of God is in His people. The people are the tabernacle. The people are the temple. And I'll tell you how much God will have on us any given Sunday. It's how much you bring in here. It just so happens a lot of us don't empty our trash before we come. Sometimes it's smelling a little bit. But I'd like for us to consider, could it be that my preparation for coming here on Sunday is not just someplace I'm trying to spend a couple hours, but what if we come through these doors and we prepared our lives to be here? That, Lord, I want my face to radiate in the church tomorrow or at my job or wherever. I want to practice the radiation of God. That's a book title if I've ever heard one. Practicing the radiating power of God as Stephen had. And I just know within my spirit that there's more to the congregation of God's people coming together than what we've yet experienced. What does it look like? We can't create it. The only thing that you have jurisdiction over is your own heart. But it just so happens, the only thing you need to have jurisdiction over is your own heart. And then we can try to point to this or that and all these different things. Well, if we do this, we can look, well, they're just not as spiritual as I am. Well, they're just not doing that. Right? That's not the way it happens. Now, sometimes, and I'm all for it, I've been in these situations where you have a good nucleus, if you will. I'm not saying we got to be there 100%, but you got a good nucleus of people within the congregation that's seeking this glory of God in their lives to a place and to a point that their cup will run over and the presence of God is extended through their face, if you will. It doesn't take but a nucleus of people to start that thing and to make that thing happen and for it to be contagious. And I've been in churches when that happens and you got a group of people that they radiate the presence and the glory of God. And all of a sudden it's like a fire. And it'll start across that congregation. And the presence of God is at a tremendous level. A corporate light and power is then ignited. Now, I have actually witnessed that before. The problem with witnessing that before is your life's never the same. You never get over it. You keep looking for it again. Which can soften the hardest heart and heal the broken spirit of individuals, towns, entire countries, and one day even the entire earth. Now, this is not my idea or your idea. This is God's idea. This is God's heart. It is God's heart to radiate through your face like he did Stephen. Stephen was in a, as they said in Old Brother, Where Art Thou? A famous quote. Hey, boys, I think we're in a tight spot. Stephen was in a tight spot. But here's what happens. Remember what Jesus said about the light. He said it would radiate throughout the whole house. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. I have witnessed and experienced that. And this is the house. And if everybody comes in the house, the bushel baskets are off, and the radiating face of the glory of God's coming through our faces, things happen that won't happen at Walmart. All right. You have been invited to let your light so shine before men. The more you shine, the more the presence of Jesus will be radiated, energy of courage, hope, healing, and confidence. You must be aware of the glory that has been placed within every believer. Now, this is the reason I'm saying this glory is the desire of God. It's not my desire. It's God's desire. It says this in Numbers. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And that's when Moses said to God, carried on conversation. Now, God, don't kill him. Don't kill him, God. It's going to be a bad testimony. God's response to Moses was this. Okay, I'm not going to kill him, but I'll tell you one thing. Just as sure as I'm standing here, he said, I'll pardon according to your word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. That's God. That's what he said. So this morning, and when I came across Stephen, I felt like that the Lord just wanted to make us aware that Stephen was a hold of something. The glory of God was shining through Stephen's face. And all of us should be aware that that same glory is within us. And if you're satisfied with your level of glory, you need to go pray. There's more glory where that came from. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for Stephen and his life. Lord Jesus, I do ask and pray that this little side teaching I've done here on your glory, I pray that it was of your spirit. And Lord Jesus, I do ask and pray that you'll challenge us to be disciplined and walk in your ways, and that the glory you want to send to this earth could shine through us. What a something to say. Lord, let your glory come to this earth. And let it shine through me. Let it shine through this congregation. Let it be a true spiritual phenomena. I pray, oh God, that the rumor could be started. That those people down at New Life, you need to go in there, they look like a bunch of lightning bugs. Because there's something shining. There's something they're projecting. There's something coming off of their face. They're the happiest bunch of people I've ever seen to be living in these dark times. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you.